Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we study the Word of God and read the Word of God and move forward in our walk with Christ Jesus, our Savior. I am thankful, as always, to know that God has awakened us up this morning, because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody didn't make it to this new day. So we should be always thankful to God that he gave us another opportunity for a do-over. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for my do-over. So let's get started in our word this morning. And it is, as always, a great word. But let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning asking you, Lord God, to forgive any sins that we have committed in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. Lord God, we lift up our nations around this world, O God, asking you, Father, to take control, to be the center of every government, that they will do what is right with you, O God, not right in their eyes, but right in yours. Lord God, we ask you to help us to be countries unified in love for each other, that we not want to make war, but to make peace, that we may all be able to share in this planet's goodness and the richness that you have given us. Lord God, we pray for those that are in the paths of hurricanes, the paths of volcanic eruptions, the paths of sea levels rising. We ask you, Father God, to watch over them. We ask a special prayer, Lord God, for the country of Haiti, which has historically gone through so much, Lord God, as their president was assassinated. We ask you, Lord God, to bless his wife, who was also shot, that, Lord, she survives, that she survives and that she lives to live a better life, a godly life, a life filled with you, and that she will speak one day of the goodness of God that kept her alive. Lord God, we ask that the word that is about to come from my mouth, I ask you, Father God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You are my Redeemer. Through Christ Jesus, I pray, believing and trusting in you that all things are working for my good and the good of those that love you. We thank you, Father, again for this day. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for giving us strength in our body and breath to speak and to breathe. Lord, I pray for those cities and counties and places around this world, Lord God, that COVID is continuing to ravish. Lord, I pray for healing. And I pray, Lord, that you forgive us for any sins we have committed that have caused this horrible pandemic. We ask you, Father God, to forgive us so that we may be healed and redeemed by the blood of Christ Jesus. And again, in his name I pray, amen. Amen. We have got to pray, family. COVID virus is on the rise again, and it's hitting so many places. I was reading an article on yesterday where it said that 100% of those that died are in hospitals right now from COVID are the unvaccinated. And I know that I'm about to cause controversy, not trying to, but I'm going to say what God put in my heart to say. Many are not taking the vaccine because of their faith. I have faith. And I know that God created these vaccines for a purpose and a reason, just like he created the polio vaccine, just like he created the measles and the mumps and the vaccine that we have our children take every time they get ready to start school. And then again, they take a booster shot when they go into the ninth grade, you know, and even some of us adults have to take shots. And I say it's for a purpose and a reason. God didn't put that knowledge in someone's mind for it to go dormant. And I say God put it in there. The knowledge comes from God. And we have to trust him that he would never hurt us when we believe. I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe in God. And I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if we do, watch God work in our life. No, I would not say anyone's life is perfect. I know mine is not. But I still trust God that he will make a way out of no way, that everything will fall into place when it needs to. I am trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders. I trust God. So I say to you today, keep God first in everything that you do. When you start your morning out with a word from God, when you start your morning out with prayer, when you start your morning out with acknowledging and thanking God that he woke you up, watch your day go better. I'm thanking God for a great day today. I know that he is going to work it out. Everything that needs to be done, God will work it out. Keep God first, family, and watch him work in your life. So let's get started. We're going to talk about a very wise man. And I love the word that God gave me this morning. And it is this. It says, blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in each and every one of you. God delights in us when we acknowledge him, when we are not ashamed to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we're not ashamed to tell folks, yes, I am a believer. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Lord God Almighty, and I pray. And I'm believing God for a change in the atmosphere. And we as people of God have got to pray. Just imagine if all our prayers are going up together to God to heal our land, to heal our people, to protect our countries. All going up together to God. Can you imagine how God would feel that all of us believers are praying together for the healing of our land? I believe it would be a sweet aroma to his nostrils that we believe and that we trust in him. Thank you, Father. And this is our word for this morning. We are coming out of 2 Chronicles chapter 9 through chapter 10, verse 19. And we're going to talk about the Queen of Sheba. And in my studies this past weekend, you know, she came up in what I was looking at and studying. And it talked about, again, that Solomon just didn't, you know, give her wisdom, that he gave her also a child. And that child was Ethiopian, and that that's how the Jewish population started in Ethiopia, and the religion of Judaism started in Ethiopia was from the Queen of Sheba, who took a seed from Solomon, let's say. And of course, you know, there are those that say that the Ark of the Covenant is in Egypt. I mean, is in Ethiopia, and that it is hidden, and that there are priests who will die before they ever tell you where it is. And that if there has been an ark found, or if it was taken into Babylon, it was fake. And that the real ark is in Ethiopia, hidden away in a monastery, and that, you know, everybody thinks it's in whatever city, but they are not saying, and they will never say, and they will protect it with their life. And I thought, wow, it's pretty interesting, because it says that the son of Solomon by the Queen of Sheba took envoy to visit with his father, and while they were there, in the middle of the night, they snuck in and they switched out the Ark of the Covenant. They took the original one and went to Ethiopia, and the fake was left. The priests, the Levites, knew that it was not the real one, but they also had prophetic word that they were going to be destroyed, and they did not want the Ark to fall into the hands of infidels and into the hands of the wicked, or those that would come. Basically steal, kill, and destroy, you know. So it's hidden. Many know it is within the priestly class. They know about it, and all are willing to die to keep the secret and the location of the Ark of the Covenant hidden. So that's where Queen of Sheba comes into this history. So I'm like, okay, God, So we don't know. Nobody knows. But understand, after a certain point, if you guys remember, those that have gone through this journey with me before, we do not hear. There's a certain point where you do not hear or read about the Ark of the Covenant ever again. During the time of Christ, you do not hear or read about the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant does disappear. But the Bible does not tell us how, when, or who. Just throwing that out there. So we will keep studying, and as we get to more information over the course of our study of this Bible and of what we're reading and of what we're looking at and what we believe, we will get a clearer understanding. But I just had to throw out that kind of historical thing that I love the History Channel, and this was one of the stories they talked about, you know, the Indiana Jones Ark of the Covenant story. You know, of course, it's Indiana Jones, but, you know, we all understand that there are those out there who are looking for it and who would steal it and who would tear it apart just to see, and who will die. It's not worth your life trying to find something that's none of your business. You know, when God is ready for the Ark of the Covenant to be found, it will be, or to be discovered, or to be revealed. He will tell a prophet, and a prophet will tell the priest, and the priest will then bring the Ark back to Israel. We will see what happens. Maybe it will be in our time, maybe it will not, but I just think it's pretty interesting that the Queen of Sheba has something to do with the disappearance of the Ark of the Covenant in this particular History Channel study that I was looking at. So let's continue. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, and the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your word and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delights in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God. Because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as these the queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. Also the servants of Hiram, the servant of Solomon, who brought gold from Ophir, brought algum wood and precious stones. And the king made walkways of the algum and wood for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house also harps and stringed instruments for singers, and there was none such as these seen before in the land of Judah. Now King Solomon gave to Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country and her servants. And again, the History Channel and this story from Jewish scholars was that she also took the delight that she wanted was a child of Solomon. And that's what she took home with her, was a child of Solomon. So just a story. I don't know if it's true. So if I have any Israeli or Ethiopian listeners, and that they know this story, please don't hesitate to call in, push the button on your devices. I'm also out there on Facebook and on Twitter, and on Twitter it's under minister_B talks word. Please send me a shout out and let me know what the story is that you have heard. So Ethiopian listeners, you know, please don't hesitate to give us a shout out and let us know what's holding your nation. And it goes on to say, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold, besides what the traveling merchants and traders brought. And all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon, and King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of hammered gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrest. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom.
All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon was pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Aram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ship came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, and mules at set rate year by year. Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king of Jerusalem. So he reigned over all the kings from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stone, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. And they brought horses to Solomon from Egypt and from all lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilonite, and in the vision of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years, and Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Now note, Saul was 40 years, David was 40 years, and Solomon was 40 years as the king of Israel, or the king of the united Israel, Judah. So 40 years, or 120 years, it was a united kingdom under these three kings. So let's see what happens. New king coming. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, that Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent for him and called him. And Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, come back to me after 3 days. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon, while he still lived, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him, and he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, that whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scratches, which is whips with sharp objects on the bottom, which tear the skin. I mean, Jesus was beat with these, and it's hard. It's very hard. But understand, no, he didn't listen to the ones that had wisdom and had been with his father, the elders who knew what thus says the Lord, who knew what they should and should not do, who tried their best to get this child on the right way, to do the right thing. But instead, he's going to go to his friends who are children of just like he is. They have no idea what it's like to suffer. They have no idea what the people are going through that are suffering at the hands of these people that are in charge of them. So it's almost like a form of slavery, and they're saying, could you please lighten our yoke? We will do what we need to do for you. They never once said they wouldn't do their work. They just asked for him to give them some consideration. And he listens again to his peers who were, again, children of privilege because they were all children of the hierarchy. His friends were not the people that were suffering. His friends were those that lived in luxury and opulence. And so they're going to say, you show them that you're better than your daddy. You know, you always have that crew. Those, if it was me, folks, you know, you just show, tell them what you, you know, you're not going to do with your daddy. And so this is what he does. He's listening to his peers instead of the wisdom of the elders. And says, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered them roughly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people for the truth, for the turn of events was from God, that the Lord might fulfill his words which he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tent, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. So all of Israel departed in their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of revenue by the children of Israel, stoned him. But the children of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. If he had just been kind and just listened to the elders, it would be our united Jerusalem to this day. But instead, he listened to his peers who had no clue on anything because they were privileged. They were children of the rich and had no idea what it was like to suffer. And what happened? Kingdom broke. Israel went their way. Judah and Benjamin went their way. Let's keep moving. Psalms 80, verses 7 through 13. Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadows, the mightiest cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uprooted, and the wild beasts of the field devour it. Proverbs 20:16-18. Take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Acts chapter 14. But let's go back over to the Chronicles, Second Chronicles, life lessons. And for those that are just joining us, life lessons, life examples, life questions all come from Dr. Stanley. I am studying this year from the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. So all the study that we're doing is from this Bible, and it is rich. It is really, really good. And it's a great study Bible. So I would say to everyone, get this Bible for your arsenal and for your word. It is excellent. And then you can study it on your own. And as I say, meditate on it and chew this word, that it's a part of who you are. You know, you need the word of God and study it and let it be a part of who you are. So that when the enemy comes at you, you got a word to stand on. You got a word to fight, a fight of faith. So as we go, it says in Life Lesson, the first one is 2 Chronicles, chapter 9, verse 7. Happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Perhaps Solomon listened too eagerly to glowing declarations of his great wisdom. He knew he had received this gift from God, yet we have no record that he reminded the queen of the fact. And that's what he should have said, it comes from God. But instead, he beamed, and I think he was kind of happy. This pretty woman was telling him how wonderful he was. Instead of trusting and telling this beautiful woman that everything he did and what he had came from God. And this is what the life example says for this word this morning. King Solomon, we all need God's wisdom. When God invited Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, the king requested wisdom. The king, that God-given wisdom taught Solomon that only a fool tries to solve life's problems without God's help. I say this, we can't do anything God's help. We can't even move. Because in him do we live, move, and have our being. It's in God. We can't do it on our own. And it says anytime we spend wondering about how to get out of a touchy situation is time wasted. Been there, done that. God's guidance is more than sufficient for all the tests or trials we might have to face. But to benefit from it, we have to seek it out, just as Solomon did so long ago. Excuse me. In this life, tests come in all shapes and sizes. Some we anticipate, others blindside us in the middle of a rainy afternoon. Some tests require us to endure, others ask us to make the right decision immediately, regardless of the package in which the test comes wrapped. God instructs us to come to him for the wisdom we so desperately need. Again, the word of the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We must trust in God in everything we do. Acts chapter 14. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude bought of both of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. They were saving souls. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. You know, the enemy always sends somebody to try to steal or destroy moves of God. And unfortunately, he loves to use what we would consider people of God to hurt people of God, which is why you have the term church hurt. Folks get hurt, and the hurt that they get in church is a hurt so deep that many don't go to church ever again, and they vilify and talk about
whatever church it was that they were going to and the people in it, and will call them everything but children of God. But there's always in every group, and you have to nip it in the bud. And they should have nipped those Jews in the bud that was stirring up the Gentiles and stirring up trouble. But they didn't. They just left it to God and kept on moving. They dusted off their feet and kept it going. And sometimes you just got to dust off your feet and keep it moving. Because God will handle the situation. And as we continue, it says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in Lystrian language, that gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands in the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are men with the same natures as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things are in them, who is bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. You know, we people in general are always seeking something great, seeking leaders that they think will lead them into the promised land, not understanding they're already in the promised land if they love and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but wanting to seek and make people into gods and put people on pedestals. And every time you do it, you will fall. And then, of course, here comes the troublemakers from Antioch. Then Jews from Antioch and Lycaonium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I don't want to hear what you got to say, because I know you're speaking truth to power, but we're power, so we're going to kill your truth. But understand it. The truth is the truth, and you can't kill it. And this is what happened. It says, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Understanding, went into the city to let him know, I'm not dead. My God is better than your piece of stone that you all worshiping and being idolatrous to. I'm alive. And now here's the dust off my feet. And he kept it moving. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, got to turn that plate over. They commended them to the Lord, to whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Philippi. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attila. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And life lessons from this word. Acts 14 and 15. You should turn from these useless things to the living God. God had performed such an astonishing miracle through Paul and Barnabas that the people of Lystra thought the pair must be Greek gods. Paul insisted that except for their faith, they were no different from anyone else. Acts 14 and 19, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Some believed that Paul really did die and was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. 2 Corinthians 12 and 4, regardless, God preserved Paul's life until his time had come. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We find spiritual strength and encouragement not only in warm, tender words, but also in words that confront us with harsh realities. The Christian life is a war, and we must never forget it. And we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. So please join me over in 2 Corinthians. So we're going to chapter 12, verse 4. And when we go to 2 Corinthians, you know, we're going to go up to verse 1, because this is a vision of paradise. It said, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me about what he sees me to be or hears from me. In other words, I went to the third heaven. But I'm not going to tell you too much about it because I don't want you worshiping me instead of worshiping the Most High God through his Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul understood how men are, just how he wound up getting stoned. Was because he would not accept them trying to make him into a god. And I love this word because we're going down a little bit further. The thorn in the flesh. And it says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a word. And now we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at starting at verses 10 through 17. We're talking about the armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I believe we are in the evil day, that we must put on our full armor every day. Every day. And our armor is this. It says, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Truth has to triumph over lies. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must be righteous in whatever we do. So we must have truth. We must have righteousness. And having sawed your foot with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we got to stand on the word. Above all, taking the shield of faith, having faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And I'm going to tell you, they are going to come at you with everything in their arsenal of evil. We got to fight. We got to fight the fight of faith, because the enemy is coming at us, but we got to stand on the word of God. And it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of Spirit. We got to have Jesus, the gospel of peace. We got to have our shield of faith. We gotta be girded in truth and have that blessed breastplate of righteousness. And this is what it says, and praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I sought to speak. We got to speak this word. We can't be afraid to speak the word of God. We got to stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to stand on the word of God. We got to fight with the word, for it is the word that sets us apart. Trust God today, family. Know that you are special, that you are children of God, and that he loves you. We got to be bold in what we do. We got to speak truth to power and not be afraid to say, that is not right. Because blessed be the Lord who delights in you, and God delights in his children, and you are all his children. We are all his children. If you believe, if you stand on the word, if you fight with the word, you stand on the gospel, you fight with the word, and know that God is with you wherever you go, that he delights in you. Don't be afraid to trust in the Lord. Trust God and watch him work in your life. I have nothing else except for a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. I thank each and every one of you for listening in. And as always, a word comes right where we need it. And this is what Sister Carolyn has to say this morning. Good morning. Just because part of your life is over doesn't mean that your life is over. Wow. God is a brand new season for you. Have a wonderful Wednesday. I like to say, God has a future with your name on it. We got to leave the past in the past and move forward into our future. Because you know what? The enemy wants us living in the past. The enemy wants us all bogged down, beat down. But you know what? How you fight him? Put on your armor and beat his behind. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. Don't be afraid to be righteous and stand on what you know is right. God's got you. He delights in you, for you are his children and he loves you. I thank God for each of you that listen in. I thank God for his word, because as I'm speaking to you, God is speaking to me to stand on his word and not walk in fear, but walk in faith. So I thank you this morning, family, for listening in. It's time to go to work. We got work to do for the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Know that God is with you. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And we got to find, as Dr. Stanley says, we find spiritual strength and encouragement, not only in warm, tender words, but also words that confront us with harsh realities. The Christian life is a war, and we must never forget it. We got to go fight. We work for God. We are a part of God's army. And every day we fight fear with faith. We fight lies with truth. We fight darkness with light. We find that discouragement and I can't go on with hope. Hope in a future. And we fight hate with love. I thank all of you for listening. As we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, whose blood flows through our veins because we believe we are covered. Be blessed, family, and know that there is only one God and one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And we are their humble servants. We are daughters. We are sisters. We are brothers. We are friends. We are who God says we are. And he delights in you. Have a blessed day, family. That is all I have. And I got to go to work. I love you all. I thank God again for you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Don't let the enemy get in your head. You need to stomp your foot and say, not today, devil. As this lady said in her shirt, and what I'd like to say, not today, Satan. Keep it moving. Tell your minions to keep on going, because I know that my God is with me and that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper today. So you just might as well keep on going and find somebody else, because I am not the one. I am fighting, and I got my armor on. And you got to start speaking those things. I got my armor on. Not today. Not today. I'm calling on the name of Jesus, and I will say to the highest heaven, Jesus, I know you are fighting my battles today, for the battle is not mine. It is the Lord's. Have a blessed day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It is a wrap. It is time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for the Lord. And let your light shine wherever you go, that those that see you know she's working for God. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.